Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so the Cool Shit Podcast, episode 8, I believe. That's correct. Yes, I know it's correct, so I don't know why I'm asking. We have two new guests that have not been on the podcast. So, Andrea, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you.
Ben Jackson, how are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Good, not too bad, thank you. And as ever, looking a little bit worn and torn today, the editor-in-chief, James, how are you going?
Yeah, why are you airing out my dirty laundry?
Okay, let's move on. It's obviously a touchy subject. How has it been in the world of cool shit?
It's been a little dry. There's been a lot of fun stuff, but it's not positive at all.
And is that what we've got in store? Lots of
no,
bad
we
stuff?
Haven't. I've sifted through all of the misery to find a couple fairly positive looking ones.
Okay, great. All right then. Well, go on then. Off you go.
Okay. Well, since we've got Ben Jackson, who is a master of all things Web3, I thought it would make sense to chuck a metaverse story in here. So Somnium Space are a company who are seeking to allow people to sort of live forever in the metaverse by recording their conversations, speaking voice mannerisms and movements to create a virtual avatar of them.
Okay, well, I think we should jump straight to Ben Jackson, who is, he's currently doing a PhD in sort of the metaverse and the stuff around this. I probably said this wrong.
He did roll his eyes,
didn't he?
I didn't roll my eyes. I looked away in a vaguely disinterested sort of way. Look, it's interesting. Have you guys been on the platform? Have you tried this particular slice of metaverse?
No, I haven't. Sounds terrifying.
Same for me. I think that if you're being inspired by a Black Mirror episode, it's probably not...
Yeah, it's weird to watch Black Mirror and think that it's like an instruction manual.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So the Black Mirror episode, which it says is being inspired by, is San Junipero, which is actually one of the few Black Mirrors, or I think the only Black Mirror that ends with a sort of like happy ending, which is this lady who uploads herself. It's a very cool episode. It's set in the 80s. But as I understand it, this is really different to that, because whereas they are preserving that person, so a person applies to be digitally kept and still feel like they're experiencing life, this is different. This is about uploading what you have left of yourself so that your voice and your mannerisms are captured, and therefore people can go and get a version, an avatar of you, which is kind of different, isn't it? It's not like you live forever.
No, it does nothing for the person who's actually dying. They're still dead. It just means their grandkids can have a chat with them.
Yeah.
Right, it's a bit more like saving a Facebook page after someone's died, right? It's like all of the things that you've written, all of the pictures you've taken, but rather than that, what you've said or how you've been within that metaverse space is just captured.
I wouldn't trust it though, would you? Like, because you're leaving a representation of yourself after you've gone, and you'd really have to trust that they've got it right.
Yeah, and it would put Derek Acora out of a job.
Andrew, what do you think of this story?
Well, it's very interesting. I think for a lot of people, it could be helpful. Like, I was discussing that with Siva earlier, and she was saying that, you know, if you lose someone that you really love, maybe it could be a good way to grieve or help grieve. But I think it's a bit... Can I swear?
You can swear.
It's a little bit fucked up, you know? I think humans need to go through the process of grief. And as you said, it might even not be represented in a proper way. But also, I don't know, I feel it would stop you from going through that process and healing. I don't know.
I think it makes an interesting question, right? Because, like, it's an avatar of you, right? But I've got a question. When are you you? Like, is it me at 20? Is it me at 37? Is it me at 85? What is the right version of you that you want represented? Because the point about living is that you're constantly changing. The you a year ago is not the you now. Like, which you is it?
It's a good point, actually, because if this is presumably for people who are expecting their demise in the near future, they're going to be, what, 80s, 90s? Like,
yeah, I don't want a 90-year-old avatar of myself.
That's what I'm saying. Would that be the one that you want? Because
let's all calm down and let's not get quite so overexcited about this.
Go on, Ben, go on.
This is a metaverse space, right? So all it is literally, it's an avatar of you. It's it doesn't necessarily look like you. It's just a digital representation of you within the metaverse space. What this company is saying that they're doing is adding like 300, 400 different recorded data points to create a kind of facsimile. It's not really you. No one's going to think that it's you. You're not going to have a weird interaction with like you from beyond the grave. It's literally just a collection of some things that you did, potentially within a virtual reality environment. What he's going for.
But this, I mean, this is the basis of so many sci-fis, isn't it? Like we talked about Black Mirrors. The Matrix is like living in a, you know, essentially a metaverse. Vanilla Sky. I don't know if anyone's seen that film. That's about sort of like life beyond death, where you sort of like live. Is that sort of not where we're going in terms of a digital life, where we will be able to upload an essence of ourselves, where we will think that we are conscious in another digital space?
Do I think that that's in the future somewhere?
Well, you're doing a PhD, so like let's get
okay.
Well,
let's be right. What I'm studying is like, how will we work in a metaverse environment? Like, will we be sat at home with our VR goggles on, with like a Spider-Man NFT instead of a uniform? Sure, maybe. But like, do I think that we will be uploading a sense of ourselves to some sort of magical virtual land? No.
So you heard it here. Sounds like Ben Jackson says no.
Sounds like they got to him. He's undercover.
I actually, you're right. This is in fact a metaverse space we're in now, and I don't really exist.
Yeah, he keeps twitching. He's glitching out.
Okay, cool. All right then. Well, what else have you got, James?
Well, this is a fun one. But it's a willful imprisonment, which doesn't sound that fun. But the Manuscript Cafe is a place to help people, specifically writers, meet deadlines by locking them in and not letting them leave until they finish their work.
So how are they going to police this? So like, I go into a cafe, I book in for whatever it is, I'm going to stay here for 3 hours and I need to finish this deck of ideas that's going out to a client, yeah? And how are they going to spank me if I leave with it half done?
I think you've got the wrong end of the stick there. Yeah. Literally.
But how are they going to wrap my knuckles then to make me stay?
I don't think they will attack you, but I think there's probably an honour trust-based system that you're not going to try to break out. And also, I feel like that would happen so infrequently. I feel like you probably could get out if you wanted to, but it's like the mindset of going in there thinking that you can't. So it's kind of smoke and mirrors. And also, I feel like if you're going to a place like that, then that's the kind of, you're willfully putting yourself under pressure.
There's like three levels of harassment, apparently. Mm. So the first one's like gentle chiding, and then it all goes up to like the third one, which is like full on shame and degradation. I don't think there's anything physical involved, but they haven't said so.
Well, I'd like it if you like everyone would just sort of stand up and go shame, 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 and like point at someone.
For a Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. It depends the sort of work that you do. You say writers. Do you know what sort of writers? Do they have a specific type of writer that they're trying to appeal to?
I mean, they're fussy. Anyone with money likes coffee, I think.
Well, like, you could get in there, James.
I could do. It's in Japan, though, this particular one, so that would cost me a bit on the flight. But yeah, it's a good idea, and I feel like it's good for writers because I feel like a lot of them can't go sort of 30 seconds without an espresso and a roll-up. So this would kind of prevent the roll-up at least.
I wish there was something like this when I was writing my dissertation, because you get distracted so easily. And who doesn't like a bit of, motivation, mean motivation? It always helps.
Isn't distraction a good thing, though?
No.
Like, all right.
Not when English is your second. Not when English is your second language.
Sure, okay. But like, if you need, like, writing isn't just about like putting words on paper, right? It's also about being inspired or thinking, and that sometimes requires, you know, a cigarette and a coffee and a little bit of a wander around and, you know, seeing outside.
It depends on what you're writing. If it's a poem or a play, I get it. If it's a paper,
I don't know. Think about the industry that we work in. I kind of agree with you, because how long does it take to come up with a good idea? Well, you know, that could be 2 days, could be an hour, could be, you know, like, could be 3 minutes if you're lucky, right? Never is, but could be. And I think that putting a deadline on it, as we do, you know, in as creatives, you have to have a deadline on the way you work. But having the space to kind of go somewhere else is usually where you start to hit the jackpot on ideas. It's not while you're sat in front of a laptop going, good idea, come now. It doesn't usually happen like that. It's usually when you're doing something completely different, but you've taken in the information, you've researched it, you've sort of let it ferment in your head, and then sometimes it just pops in when you're not thinking about it at all. So that's where this cafe sort of like is a bit draconian, I think, for my liking.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't respond well to the pressure. I feel like it's the type of thing where I'd look at that and think, yeah, I'll give that a go, and then as soon as I sit down, I go, oh my god, what the fuck have I done this for? I need to get out, I need to... Actually, that's the point, actually. I was going to say I need to fake an emergency. What if you've got an actual family emergency? What if your aunt needs a kidney?
Do you think they're sit there on like reception, like, we've heard it before! Yeah, you raise a good point. I mean, would you go there, James? Would you go and sit there and work?
Yeah, I'd give it a go, because I do get distracted constantly. In fact, I'd say I'm distracted more than I'm not distracted.
You're distracted right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about aeroplanes.
Andrea,
yes.
Have you got a story that you want to put into the mix for this week's Cool Shit?
Well, I do have a little story, you know, for the celebration of the Queen's birthday. I think she's turning 96, and Mattel, tomato, tomato. And they just came out with a Barbie doll that looks like the Queen.
Looks like the Queen now, or looks like the Queen?
The Queen
we're back
now.
To the, we're back to the story before.
I was gonna say, I've just loaded it up. It's quite flattering to the Queen, to be honest. She's awfully smooth in this.
I mean, she looks cute.
I mean, if she's gonna say yes to it, she's not gonna go, make me ugly, make me fucking ugly.
She had a facelift. Yeah,
is it officially?
Sorry. In real life, or as this?
Oh, as a Barbie. As a Barbie. I mean, she could in real life, considering that it retails for £80. So
can I see a picture?
£80.
Well, I mean, I guess no,
Barbie's
$75.
Gone up a bit. It's not that I was buying.
Oh, wait a sec. I mean, they've been very kind to her, looking at the picture.
Yeah. Also, I don't actually think the other one. I don't think that looks like her.
No, it doesn't.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think. Yeah. I knew it looked like someone. Yeah. So yeah, have they accidentally done Helen Mirren? Do they get confused?
It's an interesting story. So what's it going to do? What's the point of this? Is the point of this for the royal family to appeal to young girls and to younger generations? Or is the point of this to get younger generations to believe in the power of, you know, a head of state being a woman? What do we think the point is to?
Probably neither of those things, in fairness.
What do you reckon then, Ben? What do you think?
Mattel are exploring a lot of, like, collectability, right? This their whole thing. So they've got a whole range of new Star Wars toys that are more highly detailed and more kind of aimed at people like you and me. I'm not sure if you're into Star Wars, but if you're...
Of course I'm into Star Wars.
Right, so you and I are more likely to spend £200 on like a little Star Wars thing than I think maybe most people would be. But yeah, so much more around collectability, much more around kind of tapping into whatever kind of zeitgeist is out there. And I guess...
So then my question is there zeitgeist for the Queen?
Yeah. People kids love the Queen. Yeah.
Maybe not amongst kids, granted, but there's certainly going to be, like, there's going to be, this is a whole year of like fairly intense stuff going on, right?
It's going to be some mental bloke wearing like a full Union Jack suit who's like brushing her hair all alone in his room. Like,
Prince Andrew?
Yeah. I'm slightly creeped out by Barbie's full stop. And the Queen Barbie is giving me bad vibes, to be honest.
It looks very kitsch, doesn't it? It's got a kitsch feel to it, which I guess Barbies are kitsch, right?
Yeah, her eyes kind of follow you around the room as well.
I understand your point about sort of like collectability, but I'm still not sure who it's for. Who's going to buy it?
It's for adults, right?
It's for adults.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, for 100%. This is not to be played. It's £80 for a start. Yeah, it's not to be played with. It's for the sort of person that buys a Daily Mail and gets one of those commemorative plates with like Princess Di on it. Stick it up in the
So Middle England, you think this is like a Middle England sort of like middle-aged lady that's
going to...
Yeah, that's going to be...
100%.
Oh, right. My grandma definitely will buy it, and she's French. French people love the royal family.
They're
obsessed with it. Yeah. Some people in France, they
French
love it.
French famously love the royal family.
Yeah. It's strange, but to them, I've been in a few people granny's house, and they all have the collectible plate with the Queen on it, so yeah, I could totally see your grandma in France buying it just because they love the royal
family.
So
there we go.
My nan's got a picture of Napoleon in her
exactly
in front
room. Why? So,
okay, so this is for French grannies, and your grandmother loves Napoleon. Great.
She actually does love Napoleon. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I have so many questions.
Please.
Well, why?
Well, actually, sorry, before we get to that, she's also got a signed picture of Kevin Spacey in her dining room from when he was, creative director at the Old Vic. It just came in the post one day and said, Dear Joe, thanks for the support. And it's still displayed there with pride. I saw a couple of weeks ago, I looked at him like, yeah, that's definitely weird, actually. I've got used to that being there, but that's not normal.
Does Kevin Spacey's eyes follow you around the room, James?
No, no comment.
So we're just having a little chat before the podcast, and it seems that we have a similar story that we might be chatting about.
It's the same story.
Okay, cool. Tell me why I was approaching it, because I don't expect you to put into call shit that Netflix has lost 30% in its stock share as a story. But the reason I found it interesting is that Netflix, this week, their shares lost a lot of money. And you'll understand better than me. Can I say that you've worked at Netflix? Is that
yeah,
cool?
You can say that.
Okay, cool, right. Essentially, what they've done is they've saturated the market and there are no new users really for growth. It's not going to be exponential like it has been in the past. And that now they're going to have to look for new ways of growth, which is either cutting budgets within however they choose to do that, or an advertising model, a little bit like Spotify. So you'd have Netflix Premium, and then you'd have like Netflix where you'd get like adverts on it. Now, I'm not here to laugh at Netflix. The reason that I thought it was cool is because I just think competition is cool, right? I think what Disney Plus has done coming into the market, what I think it took a while for Apple TV, is it Apple Plus or Apple TV?
Apple TV.
It's Apple TV, right. So what they've done, you know, they took a while to get started, but sort of like Ted Lasso sort of really sort of came into its own in terms of getting me at least to get a subscription to that. And I think that Netflix has been brilliant. I think it's absolutely been brilliant over the last 10 years. So I'm not here to boo Netflix. I think the way that they've understood how we watch and consume entertainment has sort of led the way for all the other suppliers and broadcasters to fall into line. But now I just kind of think like, well, it's time to have a look and see how we approach that again and sort of change and mold. Because if you've got this sort of huge market share, then I don't feel like we've got a fair playing field.
So, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I think that the Netflix, the conversation that needs to be had, in my view, is what is best for the consumer, like me as a TV watcher, I love TV, and then what's really best for the company. So Netflix did a lot of things that I think were really, really good for the consumer, but were terrible for them over the long term. The big one being binge watching.
Well, that's, again, that was one of the things that I noted, like, so from whatever the first Netflix original was, Lilyhammer, but then House of Cards, yeah. Talking to Kevin Spacey yet again, your nan will be pleased.
Shout out my nan.
That sort of revolutionized understanding that we want to binge watch and we don't want to wait week on week for a new series to come out, episode to come out, was really changed the way that we consume TV, right?
Massively so. But the problem is that it means that you need more content to be able to keep your viewer interested. I can, you know, when House of Cards came out, me and my friend, and my housemate at the time, massive fan, season two, we both sat on my sofa on the Friday, took a day off work, and watched the whole thing in a day. The problem with that is that if you're a marketer and you want to market the show, people are only having that conversation about the show for the weekend. They're not creating content. There's none of that kind of long tail conversation happening as that month goes on. So that's why brands like Apple, brands like, I think Apple actually have my favorite model of releasing the first three episodes and then doing the rest of it once a week, gives you that kind of balance of going, this is a show that I want to get into and I'm going to binge watch a bit, but I'm still going to have that long tail of conversation that's happening on the internet.
I feel like Netflix has had fewer and fewer kind of massive hits that everyone's talking about. Squid Game was kind of the exception, but other than that, in like the last 3 years in terms of like sort of Netflix originals or on the Netflix platform, what's there been? Because when you look at HBO, they've got like, what, Succession and Euphoria are probably the two most talked about shows in the last year or so.
Euphoria, I thought that was Netflix, is it not?
No,
it's HBO.
HBO.
It's HBO, right. And HBO is sort of like the Don, as in like historically, it's traditionally been like, you know, famously with The Sopranos. It's sort of like ushered in that era of TV being as good as film, which Netflix understood and went like, you know, you're releasing box sets all the time after the seasons have come out, like, and people are binge watching them. Let's actually do that all at the same time. But HBO, interestingly, what I thought they did really well was with Game of Thrones. And I think it was the final couple of seasons, they did it weekly. And it really sort of created that hype of people talking about it, people watching it at the same time, and feeling that like you were part of the same thing, part of the same experience.
But it's a shame that the last season was so wank then.
It was awful. Yeah. It was rubbish.
Very strong geese. Netflix is also in a situation where it's cancelling shows that people love.
Mm-hmm.
because it's not reaching the level of hype that it needs to, but it's also because around season three, the show gets much, much, much more expensive to create. It's much more expensive to pay actors who people now that people recognise, or directors who are demanding more, or demanding more resource to be able to make the show that they want. So there's also a situation here where they're having to be more cost effective with the content that they're creating than they would ever otherwise have to do. And so like HBO is a great example. Game of Thrones was ridiculously expensive. At the time you got to that season 8, although I didn't particularly enjoy it, in fact, I hated it, the cost to create that dwarfed what was going on in season 1 or 2. But there was a middle few seasons where it was expensive, but not nearly as popular as maybe it needed to be. For someone like Netflix to go, yeah, we would continue making that.
Why are you bringing this to Cool Shit this week? What did you find was interesting?
So I think we're...
What's the take?
So what's my take? Right, so I think there's an interesting inflection point happening here, right? Where it's not just... You're right, it's not just Netflix anymore. There's also Disney, Apple, Amazon. If you're in the UK, have you still got a Sky membership? Are you still using a load of these other platforms?
Hulu in America as well.
Right. It's now got to the point where it is as expensive to watch content now as it was to watch content with cable. And Netflix, for all its faults, did a really, really good job of sucking off piracy. We all stopped being pirates for a substantial amount of time. I wonder if we're going to go back to those days where actually the cost benefit of content being created spread across loads of different platforms at now quite high cost, especially as Netflix is putting up its cost. I think that we're going to go back to piracy as a culture.
And that's why you brought it to Cool Shit, because piracy is back!
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. I think that's something worth talking about and it's potentially kind of exciting.
Andrea, yes. What do you think about this sort of Netflix story?
Well, I have a beef with Netflix. And this is where I'm like, okay, they might be losing, as you said, because they've reached that level where everyone is subscribed to them. But I started unsubscribing just because my favorite shows are being cancelled.
Which is Ben's point, right?
Yeah. So it just
what
like...
What are your favorite shows? Yeah. I'm interested.
Well, this is a thing. You know, I'm a 25-year-old woman. I love the originals, the vampire stuff, the Vampire Diaries, Gossip Girl. But yeah, I do enjoy those on my comfort shows. I like to rewatch it over and over again. And this is the thing, is I have to choose on a monthly basis who I'm going to give my money to, just because, you know, some of the shows I want to watch are not on the platform anymore. And also, as you were saying, James, it's true that Netflix doesn't have big hits, but I feel like lately Netflix is very much doing big hits with 15-year-olds with their PG-13 movies or whatever you call it, a love story, which is boring to me, so yeah.
So interestingly, one of the things that they said they're going to crack down is on sort of password sharing, because a lot of people will share a password, which brings me to you, James, because you strike me as the person that is not paying for your Netflix and has someone else's password. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, of course you're right. I'm not an idiot. I used to pay for it, and then I was so inept and lazy that I couldn't work out how to cancel it. So I paid for it for like a year and then worked out that I could just use my dad's password. So I don't pay for anything, actually, thinking about it. Sky, I've got that. BT for the football. Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney. I don't pay a penny.
Would you pay for Netflix?
Not unless I absolutely had to, but in theory, well, how much is that at the moment? Like £8 a month, or is it going up?
I think it's going up.
Well, there was talk of it going up to 15. Yeah. I wouldn't pay £15 a month, because I don't get that much use out of it. I don't think. Like,
what would Netflix have to do to make 15 quid worth it to you?
I'm pretty skinned. I don't think there's anything that they'd be willing to do that would make me pay £15.
But that's interesting. But that brings it back to my point. What would make it interesting for Netflix for 15 quid a month, but what could they do to that service in the way that I consume it, in the way that it's presented to me? Because once you start to think about that, because we all think that, like, oh, that's the model, that's the only way it can be spun. And there's loads of ways you could spin it. There's loads of different things that they could be doing. You know, they could start a news channel. I could be like, actually, do you know what? I buy into this, like, Netflix media as a form of, you know, newsworthy content for me. There's loads of different things that they could do with that to make me think again, like, all right, well, what value am I going to get out of the service?
Well, so yeah. You pay £15 for Netflix news?
No, not just Netflix news, but like, you know, it's part of the package they could explore to expand how they spin their content.
I agree.
I think also opening their libraries, because I'm tired of having to pay for Netflix and paying a VPN to be able to watch some of the shows. So it's
what,
going
you, so
up.
So you're jailbreaking the American shows.
Yeah.
So you are a pirate.
Yeah, I am. But this is the thing.
Pirate and proud.
Like, it's going up, and in the US when you convert, it's cheaper, but they have access to so much more. You know, especially content that I like and I want to watch. Sometimes it's not available here, and pay on top of that, the VPN becomes expensive.
So now you've hit on the biggest problem that Netflix has, which is licensing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the one of the reasons this is all happening now in the kind of immediate aftermath of COVID is that they had to spend an absolute fortune to be able to license content from other places because no one was making movies or TV, right? So the thing you're hitting on there of this idea of having to use a VPN to be able to watch content because it's not licensed here, because someone else is a license holder, that's really messy and is a nightmare for Netflix. I don't know.
But you're right in terms of like costs, because I think when Netflix came along, I was like, it was like £5. It was like £5 a month. Now I find myself, I'm paying for that. I'm paying for Now TV. I'm paying for Disney Plus. I'm paying like £70 a year for Amazon, which comes with the Prime package. And like, I haven't done a cost analysis, but I'm pretty sure I'm probably paying quite a bit right now.
Right, yeah. So, oh man, the thing that really bothers me about that is I have Prime. I have Prime really for the delivery. I don't have it for the movies because the interface.
Yeah.
Fucking
it's awful, isn't it? It's like looking at code.
So bad.
It's like, oh my god!
Like, nothing says we don't take you seriously as consumers than making an interface that difficult to navigate and engage
with.
Yeah,
totally.
That's the easiest thing to sort out as well. Surely,
yeah.
It's the what?
The easiest thing to sort out, like, because they've actually got some decent stuff on there. And like, I often, although actually, I mainly use it for like 1990s martial arts films, mainly starring Steven Seagal. But they've got some decent stuff on there. But the interface is just awful. Can't they just get someone to do that?
Well, again, like interface is another thing that like these people can look at, because like as a dyslexic, you try fucking searching for something with like on a remote, it's just a nightmare. So like if there was a voice thing where I could go like search Spider-Man movies from the noughties, do you know what I mean? Like it would be a better way to sort of explore these platforms.
So I'm just picturing you just shouting at your TV now. search Spider-Man, I'm dyslexic for God's sake.
Right, James, well, quite a few stories there. What are you thinking? What's making it in? What's not making it in?
It's quite a lot to chew on that one. I don't think I can, in all conscience, put in the Queen Barbie.
Like, it was the last
as
minute.
As a Republican. that's just not doing it for me. The Netflix one is definitely interesting. It's just, I'm trying to work out how you spin Netflix's stock taking a massive dive into here's cool shit for this week. Like, after is a funny cafe and Netflix are in the toilet. But out of the two of them, I think I'm going to try to find a way of working it in there somewhere. I think I'm basically just going to, well, listen to this back and just quote everything that Ben Jackson said.
That's what I'm here for, mate.
All right, well, listen, that's been a great episode. Thank you very much, Ben and Andrea, for joining today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
James, I hope you're in better shape next week.
Yeah, can I lie down now?
You are going to be here next week.
Of course you will.
As ever. All right, thanks very much.